The following audio is from Northlife Church in Fort McMurray, Alberta. More information is available at northlifechurch.ca.
Recently, I was watching a documentary or news clip or whatever, and it talked about the Hubble telescope that was sent up 20-some years ago. I was a little shocked when they said how. It seemed to be like 24, 26 years ago. It seemed like about 2 or 3 years ago to me. I remember about it. But the Hubble telescope was sent up to get more view of the cosmos, of the universes, of the galaxies. And it's interesting, the commentators said, as far as they can discover now, there are 2 trillion galaxies. That's what they can see through this Hubble machine. 2 trillion. Now, they never dreamt there's that many, but they're realizing there's trillions of galaxies out there. Now, we are in one of them, one of the smaller galaxies. The planet Earth is just kind of sitting in here in one of the galaxies. Then they plan to send another telescope up because this one's about to die. They're going to send another one up, and they said as soon as it arrives, it's more powerful. It can see more of the universe, and they're guessing there's going to be trillions and trillions of galaxies that they're going to be able to see. They send an interesting thing in that little documentary that as they look out and see these masses of galaxies, they said the farther away the galaxies are simply means that they are taking much longer to send light to us. And there's some sense to that. But I could not help but think, as I was watching them and listening to them talk, you know what came into mind, don't you, into my mind? Genesis 1:1. Anyone ever read the book of Genesis? Raise your right hand. Well, you need to read, especially the first 11 chapters. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, in the beginning God created the heavens and the what? Earth. I think that very interesting. In the beginning, he didn't tell us exactly when, but when it all started, God was the one who created. How many believe that? Say amen today. I tell you, it makes a, I do not have the faith of the evolutionists. I tell you, you don't need as much faith to believe God did it, that God created it. Somebody recently kind of challenged me somewhat on that, you know, that there's no God. It just all happened. And I said this, I said, I admire your faith because it takes an enormous amount of faith to believe that all of this came about just spontaneously, because we do not see evolution happening today. In the beginning, God created the heavens, plural, and the earth. And as you study that passage of scripture, it seems that it means not only did God create the galaxies, just like that, by a word, they all began. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to look and say, well, that one is older and that one is younger and that. You see what I'm saying? In a split second of time, God created it all just like it is today. Just like those telescopes gaze up at it. You don't have to say, well, that one is billions of years, that one is trillions of years old. No, in a moment of time, the book of Genesis tells us that God created the heavens and the what? And the earth. Now, the word heavens means not only the galaxies, but I also believe it means the heavenly beings. The heavenly beings. Did you hear that? The heavenly beings. God created multiple millions of angelic beings. Sometimes the scripture calls them, some of them are seraphims. They are musical beings. They are worshipful beings. Sometimes some of them are called cherubims. They worship and they honor and they adore God. The scripture says he created thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them. They are without number for us. And I want to talk about one of them today, but I don't like to give much time to this one. But I will give sufficient time so that we might understand some of the things that we are witnessing in this world are caused by that which we cannot with the naked eye see. I want us this Sunday and a few Sundays coming to pull back the cosmic curtain and to understand that the Bible tells us about at least seven. Is that seven? Close enough? At least seven major battles have taken place in the galaxies out there. And because they took place out there, real significant spiritual conflict. And because that happened out there, it impacts us down here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the what? And the earth. The scripture focuses on the earth. There's much more, but the scripture focuses on the earth. But it pulls the curtain back every now and again and says, as we look around, and boy, today it's quite dramatic, isn't it? There's much we need to pray for these days. I think of Aleppo in Syria. It was a beautiful, beautiful city. And now it's almost been completely destroyed by bombs and terrorism, including children. Hundreds of children have lost their lives. We cannot help but grieve and wonder what on earth is going on. We would have thought by now that the globe would have its act together and we would at least care for the children. But there's a conflict going on. There's a battle behind the scenes. There's an enemy that wants to destroy and uproot. And we want to talk about that today. Therefore, if you have your Bibles, you may turn to it, but you know me. I get going so fast and so furious and so deep and so shallow that you might not be able to keep up with it. But there's two main scriptures I want us to look at today. One is Ezekiel chapter 28. This is conflict number one, Ezekiel chapter 28, and the other scripture is Isaiah chapter 14. So we shall invest some time in that. What it says in Ezekiel chapter 28 and what it says in Isaiah chapter 14, and I think we'll get a better understanding of what is happening on planet Earth because of a great conflict that took place. Recently in the country of Turkey, there was a coup that erupted. Remember, that was just, a few months ago, right? There was an attempted coup that some of the military and some of the religious segment of Turkey tried to usurp the authority and remove those who are in power. So there was great terror. Remember that night some of you watched the TV? For a whole night there was terror in the sense of, is this going to be a complete change or upheaval for Turkey? Now, it didn't quite go that way, but it was an attempted coup. And perhaps I can say just very quickly today, believe it or not, there was a time way back before Adam and Eve were in the garden, there was a time in which there was an attempted coup in the heavenly places. A conflict broke out. And I would like to read it from the scripture, just some of the verses, and then we begin to unpackage it with some of the slides that I brought with me today. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11. Now, for time's sake, I just want you to go home and do your own study on this. But when you go to Ezekiel chapter 28 and when you go to Isaiah chapter 14, it has a reference to the leaders of the empire, the country in those times. It'll talk about Nebuchadnezzar, the leader of the Babylonian Empire, and it will talk about the king of Tyre. So you will see that these passages have double implication. It talks about an earthly ruler, but when you begin to read these passages, you realize God seems to be talking about more than just the earthly ruler. Now, we can say, and we know it, not all earthly rulers are subservient to God. Never has been and never will be today. Some are dedicated to God and some are not dedicated to God. And we'll talk about that as we go on in the coming weeks. So when you read these passages, it will mention the earthly ruler that existed back in that time. But some things that are said make us to realize there's something deeper here. There's a conflict other than just an earthly conflict. There's something happening. Look what it says in Ezekiel chapter 28 in verse 11. I'll read it for you. Then this further message came to me from the Lord. Ezekiel, the prophet of God, said, I got another message from the Lord. And here's the message. Son of man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre. Give him this message from the sovereign Lord. So there's going to be a message to the king of Tyre. But it goes deeper because somebody has been controlling him. He's been an instrument indirectly in the hands of an enemy. Look what it says here. Next, that verse. He says this, you were the model of perfection. You were full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty. Watch the next verse, verse 13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Do you think the king of Tyre was there? No, he was not there. But who was in Eden, the garden of God, other than Adam and Eve? Who was there? Satan was there. So I would like to just get you to think today, there's something below the surface. He's speaking about a far greater power than simply the king of Tyre. Who is this power? And what's the conflict that's taking place? He says here, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone. Now that sounds good. Your clothing was adorned with every precious what? Whoever this is looking good. Originally. And then it says this. Here's, I can hardly read these because we are not sure what all these precious stones mean. Sometimes it's difficult when it's thousands of years ago what they called what. But we'll read them anyway. Red carnelian, pale green peridot, white moonstone. Boy, ladies, you'd look good with this, wouldn't you? Huh? It says blue-green beryl, onyx, green jasper, blue, I can't even say this one, blue lapis lazuli, turquoise, and emerald. All these beautiful gems. This character was dressed in that. Beauty. Beauty. And then it says this, all beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. They were given to you on the day that you were what? Created. Say the word created. You see, there's something deeper than the king of Tyre. This one was in the Garden of Eden. This one was beautifully adorned. This one was created. In the beginning, God created the what? Heavenlies, it's plural, the heavenlies and the earth, singular. Then it says this, I ordained you and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian. Some versions say mighty angelic cherub. Well, here's an angel. This is an angel, a mighty angel. That God created with great beauty and great authority. It says here, you had access to the holy mountain of God. In other words, you have privileges in the presence of God that others did not have by virtue of who you were and who you were and how you were created. Then it says here, and you walked among the stones of fire. We do not know for sure what that is, but he walked among something that God had created, stones of fire. Then it says this, you were blameless in all you did from the day you were created. This angelic being was created without sin. Then it says this, until the day evil was found in you. We do not know where it came from, but we know it happened. That something evil entered the heart of this angelic being. Now watch this. Watch this. Your rich commerce led to violence and you sinned, so I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire. Your heart was filled with, what's the word? Pride. Because of all of your beauty, your wisdom was corrupted by your love of splendor. So I threw you to the ground and exposed you to the curious gaze of kings. You defiled your sanctuaries with your many sins and your dishonest trade. So I brought fire out from within you and I consumed you. Then verse 19 says, all who knew you were appalled at your fate. You have come to a terrible end and you exist no more. I would like to just very quickly read a few verses in Isaiah 14. Then we will deal with this scripture. Isaiah chapter 14. This gives us another insight as to the first great cosmic conflict that took place that still impacts this world. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Are you there? Listen to what it says. How you have fallen from heaven, O shining star. So this angelic being has fallen from what? From heaven. And when he falls from heaven, he's going to focus on the planet that has life. Because in the beginning, God created the heavenlies, and God has a special focus on planet what? Planet Earth. And it says, you have fallen from heaven, O shining star. You know what, O shining star, you know what that word is? Lucifer. That's the word Lucifer. Lucifer means shining star. Well, that's what Lucifer was. He was one of the most brilliant, beautiful, wise, intelligent, powerful angels that God had ever created. In theological circles, we say he was an archangel, like Michael the archangel who oversees Israel, and Gabriel the archangel who oversees the coming and exaltation of Jesus Christ. This is another archangel, powerful angel. And it says here, shining star Lucifer, son of the morning, you have been thrown down to the earth. By the way, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 18, Jesus said, and he ought to know, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like a lightning bolt. Isn't that interesting? Remember the disciples went out, 70-some disciples, he sent them out, and they came back all excited, and they said, the demons are even subservient to us. And the Lord says, you know why they are. Because I saw Satan fall like a lightning bolt from heaven. God deposed him. Well, why did God have to depose Satan? Because there was an attempted coup. Unbelievable. An attempted coup. Then look what it says here. It says, verse 13, you have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. Let me ask you this question. If Lucifer has been thrown down to the earth, do you think there's going to be any problems here? If prior to that, he had direct access to God, he had authority because God had appointed him to do certain things, if now he does not have the same access to God and he cast down to the earth, it means there's going to be conflict here. He cannot attack God directly, so he will attempt to attack the best that God created, which is you and I. We have a target on our backs because Satan does everything he can to draw people to himself away from the living God. Watch now the scripture. Here's the key to Lucifer's downfall. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars, God's authority, God's brilliance. I will ascend to heaven. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens. I will be like the most what? High. Instead, you will be brought down to the place of the dead, down to the lowest depths. Let's unpack this morning. Number one, God creates Lucifer, the shining one. Do we have it here? Pop it up. God creates Lucifer, the shining one, the light bearer, the son of the morning, the day star. God had beautiful intentions for this great angel that he created. Lucifer was created perfect, wise, beautiful, and musical. When you study Ezekiel chapter 28, read a couple of versions while you study it. Because it implies very strongly this Lucifer is not only beautiful, attractive, powerful, a great intellect, but he's also very musical. Lucifer's rebellion. Lucifer was granted position of influence and a place of service. Erwin Lutzer, he said an interesting thing. He's the pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago. He said this many years ago. He said Lucifer was God's worship leader. Lucifer was God's worship leader, the director of the choirs and the coordinator of praise. Can you imagine all that this angel was? But something happened. Something happened. Number one, God creates Lucifer. Number two, God endures Lucifer's folly. Lucifer said, I will be like the most what? The most high. Lucifer tries to seek recognition, attain prominence, and displace God. He must have been quite powerful to even attempt a coup. By the way, he is still very powerful, but he's been deposed and he's not all powerful. And I believe, I really think, it almost seems on planet Earth that for a period of time, a country will have peace and stability, and then there's a disruption. You ever notice that? And then it takes quite a while to get that under control. And then on another part of this planet, 7 billion people, on another part of the planet, there's another eruption. It seems to me, as the scripture says through Peter, the follower of the Lord, it seems to be the devil is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may what? Devour. He's a disruptor of humanity. He hates, and all he can do is hate. He lies, and all he can do is what? Is lie. You ever wonder why those who are in authority over us find such a great difficulty to get together this country with this country, this leader with this leader, and tell each other the truth and trust each other and find a solution? You know why it's so difficult? It's not just dealing with cultures and religions. It's dealing with somebody behind the scenes who hates people, who wants to disrupt this planet Earth. His name is Lucifer, and he has fallen, and he's confined to a great degree to this earth. Look what it says, the other part of this story. Lucifer tries to seek recognition. He tries to attain prominence and displace God. I put this note in. The shortest definition of sin is I will. Contrary to the what? To the will of God. You know, sin is a reality. We'll look at that conflict next week. But sin is a reality. All have sinned and come short of the what? The glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own what? Way. The Lord has laid on his son the iniquity of us all. We have a problem, and it's called sin. We have become separated from God. I am very aware that in many churches today, sin is not allowed to be mentioned. Some of them are mega churches. And the word S-I-N is never mentioned. Never, I mean never, in the sermons. Well, let me tell you this, I want to serve the Lord, amen? And I believe people will not get well unless they realize that they're sick. They will not take the medication unless they realize that there's a need. And I'm not just a person who is a good, you know, kind of a feel good. Yeah, I feel good, I'm a Christian. But we're not here to feel good, we're here to give out the truth. And the truth, all have sinned and come short of the what? The glory of God. There's a solution we shall see in a moment. But I believe the heart of sin is I will. The first sin ever mentioned in the Bible entered the heart of Lucifer, and it was a sin of pride. First sin ever. Pride. Just thinking that he was more than he really was. And pride comes before what? A fall. Look what it says here. God chooses, the definition of sin is I will apart from the will of God. It is tough at times being in the will of God. It is far more difficult outside of the will of God. It's not always easy to follow Christ, but I'd sooner follow him and have some challenges in life than walk through life not in the will of God. We enter the will of God when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And we journey through life conscious, oh dear God, keep me in the center of your will. Not my will, but what? Your will be done. Pride is self-deceptive and short-sighted. You see, the devil tried to usurp the place of God, but he was self-deceived and short-sighted. I have to pause for a moment today. Anyone still listening, raise your right hand. I have to pause for a moment. Pride is self-deceptive. It is sometimes difficult for human beings to be real with themselves. You and I have been there in our lives at one time or another. We're all in this boat together. And I don't like to pick out one challenge over another. But sometimes I have to pick one out just to help us to understand that if we're proud, we will deceive ourselves to thinking we're something we're not. Did you ever, Lord help me not to get too personal, but did you ever try to help an alcoholic out of that lifestyle that's destructive and help under God to lift them into a wholesome, healthy lifestyle? Many of us have helped. Some of you in your home, that's been a major challenge. You see, one drink makes a new man, and the new man wants a drink. Did you hear what I said? One drink makes a new man, and then the new man wants a drink. Because it's addictive. It's addictive. And alcohol has destroyed many relationships, destroyed many homes, and caused people to go through life missing much of the good in life. You know, Monday arrives and you forget what happened on the weekend. But you had a great time. You just can't remember it. And it's interesting that as we try to seek out to help somebody who's really now addicted to that substance, and it's the greatest addiction in Canada. It's not marijuana. It's not crack cocaine. It's alcohol. Bar none. Bar none. And it's destroyed so many relationships. The first greatest cause of death for teenagers is accidents. And a high percentage of accidents are because of alcohol. Just reality. Do we want to face reality? The second greatest killer of teenagers is suicide. But it's interesting, whether it's that or whether it's another addiction, and there's many addictions. It could be pornography that's destroying men and deceiving them about what a woman really is. Right? And do you ever notice this? There's something in us that doesn't want to really look at us and say, this is the way it really is. Now, do you want to take the next step into freedom? Into liberty? Into wholesomeness? Do you want to take the next step? Because what happens is, just like the devil, he had all these privileges, but he said, well, I will go, I will take over God's place. What arrogancy. But, you know, even the psychiatrists and psychologists, those who do not even know in a personal relationship, have a personal relationship with Christ, will tell us this. Unfortunately, many who are addicted to whatever that's destructive. Unfortunately, they have to hit rock bottom. You know why? Because pride is deceptive. They think it's okay. It's okay. I can handle it. I can handle it. Well, my dear friends, you will handle it for about 10 years. And then it will begin to handle you. It will begin to handle you. And how sad that is. You see, pride is self-deceptive, and it's short-sighted. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. Then the pleasure is gone, and the mind, soul, and body is harmed. Yes, it's great for a while, but what about 10 years from now? What about the children? What about the grandchildren? You see, the devil hates God, cannot directly attack him. He's been confined to a degree to this earth, so he does all he can to cause pride to well up within us, to say it's okay, but it's not okay, until we are free to do the will of God, free to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God, free to walk without this monkey on our back, free to be able to not slouch under some habit that is addiction that's tormenting us, but freedom to stop, to stand up in liberty, in joy, in peace. Then it says this, God chooses Lucifer's destiny. So Lucifer, he decided, I will rebel. He was confined to this earth to a great degree. God said, yet you shall be brought down. Repentance, for Lucifer, repentance is impossible. He's incurably evil, and he's a promoter of evil. Because of that, he will never be able to repent, nor will he desire to repent. His powers are limited. He wins some battles, but he will lose the what? War. One day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is what? Is Lord to the glory of Father. And the Bible tells us that God Almighty has committed to Jesus Christ all judgment. You understand that? God the Father said, Son, thank you for what you did on the cross for humanity. And Son, in light of all of that, one day you will be the one who will be the judge of all. And every knee shall bow to him one day. Aren't you glad you're on Jesus' side? Look what it says. Moving along. Lucifer's rebellion. His direction is determined. He's down and out. Revelation chapter 10 and verse chapter 20, verse 10. One day God will take Lucifer, Satan, the devil, he has different names. God will take him and he will cast him into the lake of fire, and he shall be confined there forever. No more interruption on planet Earth. Beautiful thing. Martin Luther said this. He wrote a song called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Remember that? Almighty. I can't sing. A mighty fortress is our God. You see, we don't have to cower to the enemy. We don't have to fear the enemy. Because there's somebody far greater. His name is Jesus. He said here, Martin Luther wrote, the prince of darkness grim, Lucifer, Satan, the prince of darkness grim. We tremble not for him. We're not. Not if we know Christ. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. Then Martin Luther said, one little word shall fell him. What is the little word? Of which the devil what's the word? The devil is terrified of one little word, and the word is Jesus. The word is Jesus. You know, there's times in my life in which I can sense evil. Not often, but now and then you just know something's really evil. And I have learned in those times. I won't tell you all of them, I'll tell you some other day. But I remember those times in which our first instinct would be, something is very wrong here. And there would be a sense of fear enter in, right? I've experienced that twice since I've come here. And you know something? There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. There is power in the name of Jesus. He's the crucified, resurrected, ascended, reigning Lord. Someone said this. The devil has some freedom to bring harm, but God has put a chain on the devil. And he'll run this direction, and God will bring the chain and give him a crank and pull him back again and pull him back again. And the name I have learned, there's times in my life in which I cannot just pray internally, which I mostly do. But there's times in my life I need to verbalize the name of Jesus. And I will say, Jesus, there is something not right in this place right now. And I claim victory in what? In the name of Jesus, and remove that presence. And just like that, it's gone. You see, this is not just church we're doing here. You see? We are in a spiritual battleground. And we need to learn to claim the power of the name of Jesus Christ, and sometimes verbally. Because one little word will fell him. So he says this. He said, one little word shall fell him. Anyone still listening? I take a few more minutes. Raise your right hand. Those opposed? Look here. Martin Luther also said the devil is God's devil. Oh, that's deep. You got to think that one over. But he said the devil is God's devil. He created him. He's dealing with the attempted coup. And one day he's going to confine him to the lake of fire. But for some reason in the great mystery of God, he hasn't been destroyed yet. I don't know all the whys, but just like you have a will that God does not negate, so this angel had a will that God did not negate. We can choose Christ or not choose Christ. We're not robots. Amen. And the scripture says when we stand before the Lord one day, there will be nobody that can open their mouth and say, oh, it's been... No. We all make choices all the time. And they can be choices that will bring health and holiness and hope. They can be choices that take us a little further down. We choose. We choose. God help us to make good choices. The devil is God's devil, yet he has a chain. Somebody said this, when the devil reminds you of your past, which he will do, sometimes he'll dredge up your past. You know, the BC, before Christ. Sometimes he'll dredge up. He's a liar. You see what I'm saying? He'll dredge up your past. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. You know what his future is? The lake of fire forever. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. I love this. Colossians 2, 14 and 15, and he has taken it out of the way. He is Jesus, has taken our sins out of the what? Way. You see, the devil wants to come to us, this fallen angelic creature. He wants to come either directly or through one of his minions. He wants to come to us and say, yeah, but look what you did. God will never receive you. God doesn't love you. You know, God left you. And the devil will point and point and point. And Paul reminds us that all those sins, all those reasons that would separate from God, us from God, Jesus has taken them all away. When he hung that day on the what? On the cross. Jesus paid it all that day. It says here, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Every reason the devil would throw at us has been put on the cross. Nailed there. Then it says, when Jesus died on the cross, he disarmed principalities and powers. Those are those heavenly beings. He disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Just when it seemed that the devil had Jesus Christ on the cross and the devil won, God caused that cross to turn for our good. The devil did the worst, and God did the best. When Jesus took my sins that day on the cross. Amen? Something, isn't it amazing how God can change what seems to be a murderous act when really in the mind of God, it's an act of deliverance for humanity. Then I close with this. Did I close before? Since God has humbled himself before us, let us humble ourselves before who? God. That's Philippians chapter 2, right? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the what? Cross. When we could not go up, God came down in the person of Jesus and took our place. He's our great substitute. So let us humble ourselves before God. Let us turn to Christ today. Cosmic conflict number one. Somewhere before the disturbance in the Garden of Eden. Might have just been 100 years before. We don't know how long before. But somewhere before that, this created being tried to usurp authority over God, and he was deposed. Therefore, that's one reason we still see such conflict on planet Earth. But one day that will all be settled.